Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 42 of our podcast, Then and Now. I'm your host, John Shomo. In this edition, we will do our usual rundown of the facts for the week for December 13th and 19th this week. We'll tackle three or four current topics of note. We will pitch a little contest that we have in conjunction with our other podcast, the one about college football, the fifth quarter. And we have actually three very good questions from listeners this week, thanks to Alec and Jeff. Let's get going. First of all, some shout-outs. First of all, had brunch today with my colleagues, my now-retired fellow retirees from Talmadge High School, Sue and Lisa, over at Wally Waffle in Talmadge. Great always to see them and to share some great conversation and some good breakfast food. Shout-out to Adam Engel, co-worker with my son Matt at the Chicago Community Trust. He got a tour of the University of Illinois Chicago baseball facility and their educational academy that they run from none other than the guy the baseball field is named after, the former Major League outfielder Curtis Granderson. Matt sent me a picture of that, and that's awesome. So congratulations to Adam, and thanks for listening. Adam's a listener of the podcast. Thanks a lot, Adam, for listening, and boy, that had to be really special. All right, I think that's it. We took care of all the... Oh, it's Bob's birthday. Wait a minute. Bob Beals' birthday today, as I record. The great Bob Beals, who still plays his music out in the Canton area. If you're in the Canton area and catch a little note on social media that Bob's out playing, he's well worth it. He's a multi-talented, tremendous guy. And a great friend. So happy birthday, Bob. Okay. Now, December 13th through 19th, here are our facts and birthdays and so forth. So let's get it going here. On December 13th, which is a Friday this year, I'm not superstitious really, but Friday the 13th this year, the Battle of Fredericksburg took place in Virginia on December 13th, 1862. It's one of the Civil War battlefields that I have visited. Somebody on the Union side thought it was a great idea to cross the Rappahannock River in pontoon boats with the Confederates on the bluffs holding the town of Fredericksburg, looking down on them as they crossed. Yeah, I guess you have to see there to believe it. But I stood there on the bluffs and looked down and was like, who thought that was a good idea? It wasn't a good idea. The Confederates won the Battle of Fredericksburg. The highest scoring game in NBA history was played on December 13th, 1983 in Denver. In three overtimes, the Detroit Pistons defeated the Denver Nuggets 186-184. That is still the highest scoring game in NBA history. On December 13th, 2000, Vice President Al Gore, very graciously, I thought, conceded the 2000 election to Governor George W. Bush of Texas. He could have fought a little more, he could have fought a little harder, but for the better of the country, he thought that it was time to put his battle for Florida aside and for the country to move on. That's a novel concept here 25 years later, isn't it? Saddam Hussein, the Iraqi leader, was captured by U.S. forces in Iraq on December 13th, 2003. Our birthdays for that date include Mary Todd Lincoln, the First Lady, wife of Abraham Lincoln, born December 13th, 1818. Very interesting case, her personality and so forth, to read about. The Hall of Famer, the Cleveland Indians great Larry Doby, first African-American player in the American League, born 100 years ago on December 13th, 1924. Dick Van Dyke will be 99 on December 13th. Still going. He's actually performing in a TV special here during the holiday season. Wonderful that he's still around. Hall of Fame pitcher, born in Canada, the great Ferguson Jenkins, will be 81 on December 13th. Comedian Jamie Foxx, doing casino commercials all over the place now, is 57. Ricky Fowler, the PGA Tour star, is 36. And some lady named Taylor Swift, I've heard a little bit about her lately. She will be 35 on December 13th. Here's a little hint. Here in the Northeast Ohio area, it is being widely assumed, I suppose, that she will be coming to Cleveland Browns Stadium on Sunday to watch the Browns take on the Kansas City Chiefs, who have a certain player that she's interested in. So prepare yourselves, Cleveland. She may be arriving. Just finished her tour, by the way, in Vancouver over last weekend. And what a tremendous person she must be. She gave donations or gifts or bonuses, I don't know what you want to call them, to an amount of $197 million to all of the people who worked and put that Eras tour together, all the truck drivers and stage prop people and all of the people who make a huge, I don't know what to call it even, a traveling show of hundreds of people, really, to put some tour like that together. And she was very, very, very generous with her money, and she wrote everybody a note. And it's just wonderful to see a big star treat other people well like that. So hats off to Taylor Swift. She's done an excellent job with that. All right. December 14th. On December 14th, 1799, George Washington passed away in his bedroom at his home at Mount Vernon, Virginia. And the nation went into mourning, really for the very first time, for the man who obviously has been called the father of his country. Well-deserved tributes to George Washington. On December 14th, 1999, the Panama Canal was handed over by the Americans officially to the nation of Panama. And really, travel has not suffered one bit that I've heard of in the 25 years since. Alabama became the 22nd state on December 14th, 1819. December 14th, 2012, just a shudder comes over me every time I think of what happened at the elementary school in Sandy Hook up in Connecticut. Just the worst nightmare people could possibly experience, I think. And when we, as a nation, did not change our gun laws after that happened, I had the feeling that we may never do it. If that couldn't convince people that we needed some sort of change, then I don't know what ever could, really. Birthdays on December 14th include Nostradamus in 1503, the first woman elected to both the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, Margaret Chase Smith of Maine, born December 14th, 1897. The 1961 Heisman Trophy winner, Ernie Davis of Syracuse, born December 14th, 1939. Ernie Davis, drafted by the Browns, looking forward to being in the same backfield as his fellow Syracuse grad, Jim Brown, got leukemia and died in 1963 without ever having played for Cleveland. What a tragedy. One more birthday on December 14th, the Hall of Famer Craig Biggio played his entire career with the Houston Astros. Craig Biggio will be 59. December 15th, 1791, kind of a big deal. The Bill of Rights went into effect when Virginia ratified it, putting them over the top in the number of states they needed to ratify an amendment, or 10 of them. The Bill of Rights went into effect December 15th, 1791. Walt Disney died on December 15th, 1966. Birthdays include Nero, the Roman emperor, if you will, who was born in 37 AD. Gustave Eiffel from France built a tower, I think, born December 15th, 1832. Comedian and actor Tim Conway, a Cleveland guy, just passed away a handful of years ago or so. Tim Conway was really funny, born December 15th, 1933. And actor Don Johnson will be 75, believe it or not, on December 15th. Moving on to the 16th, the Battle of the Bulge began in World War II at Bastogne, among other places, around the Belgium, France, Germany borders there, on December 16th, 1944, as we said. As a result of this battle, which lasted until Christmas, 9 or 10 days, 90,000 U.S. troops were either wounded or killed in the Battle of the Bulge. It was the last great German counterattack of World War II and was a very, very, very costly victory for the Allies and for the U.S. in particular. The last athletic event at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh was December 16th, 2000. The Steelers defeated the then Washington Redskins 24-6. They demolished Three Rivers Stadium, blew it up, in February of 2001, and now the Steelers play at what's now called Acrisure Stadium, which is just right next door to where Three Rivers was, and the Pirates play at beautiful PNC Park just down the street. The Boston Tea Party took place December 16th, 1773. Birthdays include Ludwig van Beethoven, born December 16th, 1770, George Santayana, philosopher, born December 16, 1863. His famous quote, us history teachers love to repeat this one, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." good advice for Americans right now. Also born on December 16th, William the Refrigerator Perry will be 62. Was a sensation coming out of Clemson, playing for the Bears. He played for that awesome Bears team that was the 1985 NFL champions. Defensive tackle by trade, but Ditka would put him in the backfield and have him run over people near the goal line to score occasionally. A lot of fun to watch, I'd say. December 17th, France formally recognized the independence of the United States of America on December 17th, 1777. That might not seem like much, but that was crucial to us winning the American Revolution. Being formally recognized by one of the European powers, France then aided us greatly in our victory eventually over Great Britain. The first airplane flight took place at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, out on the Outer Banks, December 17, 1903, by a couple of brothers from Dayton, Ohio, whose last name was Wright. The first NFL championship game was played at Wrigley Field, Chicago, on December 17, 1933. The Bears defeated the New York Giants 23-21. The first ever episode of The Simpsons appeared on the Fox television network, which was kind of brand new at the time. December 17, 1989, The Simpsons is still on. How about that? The final Browns game at Municipal Stadium. A really bittersweet moment here in Northeast Ohio, as the Browns and Art Modell had announced in November of that year that they were moving the team to Baltimore after the 1995 season. The Browns won the final game at the old place 26-10. During the second half, fans were cutting up seats and taking them home with them and throwing rows of seats down out of the stand. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy situation. And you know what? I almost really don't blame them. It was so disgusting how that happened around here. And I know I'm biased as a Browns fan, but just a disgusting thing. We haven't recovered yet from it, really, the team or anybody. But they won the last game, I guess. On December 17th, 1963, a young 15-year-old named Marcia Albert was invited to introduce a song on a radio station in Washington, D.C. She went on and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, these are the Beatles singing 'I Want to Hold Your Hand.'" It was the first time the record was played on American radio, and the rest, as they say, is history. Birthdays December 17th include Pope Francis, who will be 88. Comedian and writer, great guy, Eugene Levy will be 78. Actress Sarah Paulson will be the big 5-0. And former Phillies second baseman Chase Utley will be 46. Moving to the 18th, a couple more days left here. New Jersey became the third state to ratify the Constitution on December 18, 1787. The 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which abolished slavery, was ratified December 18, 1865. The first U.S. nuclear power plant opened, not far from here, really, just across the border in Pennsylvania at Shippingport on December 18, 1957, still in operation. Chris Farley passed away, tragically, on December 18, 1997. President Trump was impeached for the first time by the House of Representatives, December 18, 2019. That was over the ill-fated phone call that he'd made to the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, at the time. This was before the war started over there. Birthdays include Ty Cobb, who for a long time had the most hits of anybody in baseball history, was surpassed eventually by Pete Rose. Ty Cobb, born in Georgia, December 18, 1866. Joseph Stalin, leader of the Soviet Union during the Second World War, born December 18, 1878. Keith Richards, he's on his eighth or ninth life, I think. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, one of the legends in musical history, is 81 on December 18th. Happy birthday, Keith. Steven Spielberg will be 78. Brad Pitt will be 61. Katie Holmes will be 46. And Pittsburgh area native Christina Aguilera will be 44. Finally, on December 19th, Benjamin Franklin in Philadelphia began publishing Poor Richard's Almanac, December 19th, 1732. Nelson Rockefeller, the former governor of New York, was sworn in as vice president via the 25th Amendment on December 19, 1974. President Bill Clinton was impeached by the House of Representatives for events dealing with his affair with a White House intern on December 19, 1998. Still don't think that was impeachable. I still don't. Leonid Brezhnev, the former leader of the Soviet Union, born December 19, 1906. Al Kaline, Mr. Tiger, one of the underrated superstars in baseball history. Al Kaline, born December 19, 1934. Hall of Fame forward from the Boston Celtics, Kevin McHale from the University of Minnesota, will be 67. Hall of Famer Reggie White sadly died way too young. Reggie White, the defensive tackle for the Packers and the Eagles, born December 19, 1961. A couple of Hollywood birthdays here to finish it out. Alyssa Milano will be 52, and Jake Gyllenhaal will be 44, both on December 19th. Moving to our topics for this week, a couple of them from the world of sports. Juan Soto's contract. Juan Soto, the tremendous outfielder who played last season for the New York Yankees, will join his fourth opening day lineup for his fourth different team in 2025. He signed a deal with the New York Mets for, get this, 15 years. He's 26 now. And $756 million. Probably more than the gross national product of some countries. I don't know. He will be in the opening day lineup, as I said, for his fourth team in 4 years. The Nats, the Padres, the Yankees, and now the Mets. Let's see what the ticket prices are in Queens this year. I'm just saying. Also, the Guardians were busy yesterday evening as we record, trading their gold glove infielder Andrés Giménez to Toronto. They got a guy named Spencer Horowitz, a first baseman, and then Spencer Horowitz was traded subsequently to the Pittsburgh Pirates for three pitchers. The one that the Guardians got back that may really help them is Luis Ortiz. He was a spot starter reliever for Pittsburgh last year, had a pretty good year. The Guardians will probably put him right in that three slot in their rotation. Horowitz, the Pirates needed a first baseman. He doesn't have a ton of power. He hit like 17 home runs last year. Doesn't strike out much, walks a lot. He's an on-base guy. We'll see. He probably will help the Pirates. Hopefully will. Speaking of the Pirates, congratulations to the Cobra, long overdue, Dave Parker, and posthumously to Dick Allen of the Phillies and a couple other teams, the White Sox included. Dave Parker and Dick Allen were selected by the Veterans Committee to the Baseball Hall of Fame this past weekend. It's long overdue for both of those guys. Unfortunately, Dick Allen passed away in 2020 before he made it. That's always a sad deal. But the Cobra is still around. He's had some health issues. I'm glad to know that he found out that he went to the Hall of Fame, and hopefully he can attend the ceremony next summer. Just coming over the wire in the last hour, Cleveland Guardians announcer, the longtime radio voice of the Cleveland Indians and Guardians, Tom Hamilton, was just announced as the Ford Frick Award recipient for 2025. He will be inducted into the broadcaster's wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame next summer. Well-deserved, richly deserved. He has done a fantastic job as the voice of Cleveland baseball for over 30 years now. So hats off and big applause for Tom Hamilton. Well-deserved honor there. Okay, on to seedier things. The murder of the United Healthcare CEO in New York City took place since we last recorded. The suspect was caught in a McDonald's restaurant in, of all places, Altoona, Pennsylvania. Why there? Because that's where the bus stopped to eat that he was riding. A customer recognized him, or a customer or an employee. I've seen both in stories from wanted photos and tipped off the police. They cornered him. They captured him at the McDonald's. He's now in custody, extradited back to New York City, charged with murder. This is a really interesting story in some ways, a really awful story in some ways. Cold-blooded murder anywhere is wrong. I really wish I wouldn't have to say that. It has brought out a lot of information. A lot of people are coming forward saying how terrible maybe that company particular is in terms of denying people's claims that are legitimate claims that need the insurance. There's a big discussion going on now about that. The companies, let's face it, they deny way too many people. UHC is at the top of the list in percentage of denials. I think 32% of claims are denied by them, which is not acceptable, really. We are the only civilized, I guess you'd say, the only industrialized country in the world which has a healthcare system like this. In most of the other free nations of the world, Canada, France, Germany, Britain, etc., healthcare is free. I mean, in a sense. Not here. We have companies like United Healthcare denying way too many claims. That does not excuse cold-blooded murder. Let me make sure I point that out once again. But the discussion has resurfaced and been energized by this event. If anything good can come out of a terrible event like this, it may be that people take a little closer look at our system and maybe we can reform it at some point. I don't hold out a lot of hope for that in the next 4 years, but maybe we can make it better at some point. All right, before we get to three good questions, and we got three good ones this week, I want to mention a contest that we have going. If you remember, when we started Then and Now back in February, March, we ran a little bracket contest for the NCAA basketball tournament in conjunction with ESPN.com. We're going to do the same thing for the new college football playoff and bowl games this fall and winter. It'll be the fifth quarter podcast contest. It's on ESPN.com. You go to Capital One Bowl Mania link on the fantasy tab above when you get to ESPN.com and look for the group called the Fifth Quarter Podcast Group. That's the Fifth Quarter Podcast Group. And make your picks by Saturday, I guess, by Saturday the 14th, because the first bowl game will be played on Saturday, December 14th, after the Army-Navy game that day. So go to ESPN.com, Capital One Bowl Mania, hit groups, and find the Fifth Quarter Podcast Group. Join up, make your choices, and we'll give big shout-outs to people who do really well, especially the winner, when we find out who that is sometime in January. So get on over there and join the fun. Okay, three good questions this week. The first is from Alec Livingston. Alec, a listener, a good friend of Matt's. We've hosted Alec here a couple of times. He asks, what were the major factors that led to the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980 and the abandonment of the New Deal government for the neoliberalism government that Reagan championed? That's a great question, Alec. Let me try to give three main points here as an answer. One, the economy was terrible in the last couple of years of Jimmy Carter's presidency. Jimmy Carter is a wonderful human being, still with us as I speak at age 100. But he did not ever get a handle on what we called stagflation. The economy was both stagnant and had very high inflation, over 10% inflation for a couple of years in the late 1970s. That's going to weaken any president, and it certainly weakened Jimmy Carter in his standing with the public. Also, American hostages, 52 of them had been taken in Tehran, the capital city of Iran, and were being held hostage, and it captivated the nation. Every day the news would report, this is day 122 of the Iranian hostage crisis. And it was just this sword of Damocles hanging over Jimmy Carter's head. And he was impotent to do anything about these problems. And Reagan was in a great position. Anybody running against Carter that year, he faced opposition in his own party from Senator Ted Kennedy. And they had bitter battles in the primaries. Carter eventually won, but he was weakened. Reagan, a great candidate on television, the great communicator, former actor, he made three promises in his campaign, if you will. A, he'll lower taxes. B, he'll increase military spending. And C, he'll balance the budget. You can't do all three of those things. George Bush, his Republican opponent in the primaries and later his vice president, called it voodoo economics. Absolutely, it could all three of those things could not be done at the same time. But people were skeptical of Carter's ability to do anything, and Reagan profited. Reagan was a terrific candidate on television and in speeches, and a likable guy. He was a likable candidate, and that obviously helps. They had one debate in the fall. It was in Cleveland at Public Hall. And Carter was giving an answer about Social Security or something. And Reagan kind of tilted his head and said, well, there you go again. And he just appeared to be this folksy guy that people really liked. And he asked the key question that a challenger should ask at a time like 1980. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And truthfully, in October of 1980, most people were not better off than they had been 4 years earlier. And in the last week or 10 days of the campaign, a very tight race devolved, if you will, into a Reagan landslide of sorts. And that's what pushed Ronald Reagan over the top. I think that's the best answer, Alec, that I could give you. Carter just didn't get a handle on it. Great guy, superhuman being, but just seemed to not be able to get a handle on things in terms of economics. Second question from Jeff Cole, and I'll leave the answer to you guys, see if anybody gets the answer. If you've got a guess for one of these two questions coming up, please get in touch with us, or if you just have a comment or a question about the podcast, please get in touch with us at our email address, which is threegoodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, threegoodquestions, at gmail.com. Jeff asks, who is the last person to win the Heisman Trophy? Timely question. Who did not play for Notre Dame or a current Power Four conference? Who was the last person to win the Heisman who did not play for either Notre Dame or one of the current Power Four conference teams? That's the Big 12, the ACC, the SEC, or the Big 10. We'll let you mull that one over, and if you've got a guess, please email us at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. Third question. I did not get every one of these answers. I got two of three when I tried the question. Let's see what you can do. The question is this. Only three female athletes have earned $30 million or more in a year. Who are they? Only three female athletes in history have earned $30 million or more in 1 year. Who would they be? Again, send your answers to threegoodquestions@gmail.com. Thank you, Alec, for that question. That was a great one. Thank you, Jeff, as usual. Jeff is a great contributor to the podcast. That'll be it, I think, for then and now, for December, mid-December, if you will, 2024, for episode 42. As always, we appreciate hearing back from listeners. It's always a kick for me to hear somebody, hey, yeah, I listen to your podcast, or to have one of my friends or one of my family members say, yeah, that so-and-so listens to your podcast. It's just very gratifying to hear that. So thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week at you with another episode of Then and Now. Until then, I'm John Shomo. Have a wonderful week, everybody.